And good afternoon, and welcome to Lamdu Weekly. I'm going to be your host today. I'm Laurent Landis. David and Patty are off for the week. I know Patty is in San Francisco, and David is where?
In Colorado.
In Colorado, thank you. I don't keep up with David.
So. Is Patty going to Grand Marshalling School?
You know, I'm sure she's getting her a lot of practice out there. So, yeah, she will be the Grand Marshal next month.
Yeah, excited.
Yeah, we can't wait to see that. Our guests today are Leslie McMurray and Katie Sprinkle, the regulars on here. Thank you for coming back, ladies.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Of course, this is the Lambda Weekly Show. We talk about LGBT issues, and today we're just going to focus on the T. We're going to get the T on the T. So,
it's sweet tea.
It's sweet tea. It's very sweet.
Yeah.
Especially if you're here to smell Leslie. She smells very sweet today.
I knew I should have bathed.
But before we get to that, we do want to remind everybody, it is still Pledge Drive. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. And if there's ever been a time when we need your pledge, it is now. Not only to help keep Lambda Weekly on the air, but to help keep KNON on the air altogether. I don't know if you heard any news. Well, if you listen to KNON, you already know this. But if you don't, if it's your first time tuning in, we're moving. We are moving, and we are in need of new space. We'll be here till the end of September, so we need help with that move.
If we don't get this money, it's going to be David Taffet with a bullhorn down on Cedar Springs.
Absolutely, and none of us want to see that.
No.
We really don't. So let's avoid that and help keep Lambda Weekly, help KNON. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. Josh is standing by. Chris is standing by. And so is Doc, always. So give us a call and help us out. Okay, Leslie, Katie, what's going on? What's been in the news lately?
Well, probably the biggest thing on my mind, and we talked about this earlier, is open season on transgender people. We believe there may be as many as 16 transgender people who have been murdered in the United States this year alone. We've already had more deaths because of murder this year than we had all of last year. And those numbers are probably low. The murder of a transgender woman in particular often go unreported, particularly in more rural communities where they just flat out don't care. So we've got to do more about the attitude that is leading to these deaths. Almost all of the murders thus far have been transgender women of color.
Mm-hmm.
So they're being particularly hard hit, and that's already a community that is particularly hard hit across the board. Some of the highest levels of discrimination are being faced by transgender women of color. So it's already a...
In the most recent here in Dallas, Shade Schuler, mm-hmm. was most recently found.
Found after being dumped. I mean, horrific set of facts.
Yeah, and you said, you know, the number, it could be as high as 16 now, and that might be under-reporting. I don't know. Why do you think that it's not being reported? Because whenever someone dies, whenever a body is found, of course the authorities know about it. Again, when the body is found, do you think it's not being reported as a trans person that was killed?
Yeah, a good example is right here in Dallas when they found Shade's body. Initially, the Dallas Morning News identified her as male because, again, they look at genitalia or they'll do, you know, a DNA search of some sort. And it was Nell Gaither with Trans Pride Initiative who I guess knew of Shade who said no. In fact, she was a trans woman. So that certainly complicates it. That might be one of the issues. The other is law enforcement may just sweep it under the rug in some of those smaller, like Katie said, rural communities because our lives just aren't valued.
Right.
And that has to change.
Now, of these 16-plus murders that have taken place so far, have any the culprits been caught that you know of?
In some instances, they have been caught. In many, they have not.
Right.
There were several people of interest being looked at on a murder that was literally caught on video.
It was in Fresno. The girl went over to the car window and they stabbed her in the throat. And she bled to death on the street.
I didn't know about that.
She was there for 15, 18 minutes as people went over, saw, looked at her, and then kept on walking. And it was 15, 18 minutes before someone even called 911.
Yeah.
That was right on the street on Shaw Avenue, which is one of the busiest streets in Fresno. That's in California, where people tend to think, oh, you know, they're more tolerant and open.
And she laid in the street bleeding to death, and people weren't reacting with horror and calling 911 to get assistance. She laid there. Maybe she could have been saved if somebody had bothered to care enough. And again, you know, the larger issue for us is that there's a prevailing attitude that is allowing this to happen. And until we can start really hammering at that overall attitude, we're not going to make the progress that we need. We need the major media stations to start highlighting this and saying, look, this is an epidemic, because 16 is an epidemic.
Because we're not a huge population. You know, 16 right. of our group is a lot of our group.
It is.
And also another, you know, side of that is internationally, there's been over, I think, 75 murdered in Brazil this year. And that's like the killing ground for transgender people every year.
So these murders, and I'm sure they're all slightly different, but talk about what might be the bulk of them. Are they random? Are they scorned lovers?
A lot of them are trans panic, where someone will find a transgender woman attractive and decide to have sex with her, and then find out that she is in fact transgender. And again, I'm not speaking in every case, but this is common enough to where the perpetrator of this will be caused to question his own sexuality. And Laverne Cox has talked about this a lot, that trans women are women. And if you find a transgender woman attractive, that doesn't make you gay. You're as hetero as can be, because if you find a woman attractive, we're women.
Right.
And so if that person questions their sexuality or becomes angry or felt duped, they often will take it out on this transgender woman, and in a very personal, violent, and horrific way.
And, you know, this, part of the attitude that you were speaking of that we need to change, I think part of that attitude that needs to be changed is that it's okay. It's okay to do this to a trans person if, in fact, you find out when you see their genitalia that it's not what you thought it might be. It's okay to do that, and it's not. Yeah, no. It's not okay.
Some of these murders are targeted murders that the victims, the trans women who were attacked and murdered, you know, were identified as being transgender, and then they were attacked. And transgender people, our murders are up close and personal. They're not killing us three blocks away with a sniper rifle. They're on top of us, beating us to death, shooting us at close range, stabbing us to death. They are up close and personal. These are the kinds of murders where you watch your victim die. And that's what's happening. And then the bodies are being dumped. The one here in Dallas had been left for several days. And so this also leads to the underreporting, because by this point, you've got to rely on DNA and other things for identification. And initially, you're going to see these reports coming out. Well, a man was found at this location. And then only days or weeks later, when the person's identified, do you have someone coming forward saying, wait a minute, that was not a man, that was a trans woman.
Right.
And a lot of times the parents don't assist in this because they're embarrassed to have a transgender child, so they will bury the person as their birth gender and deny that they were in fact transgender. So yeah, I believe the numbers are really, quite honestly, vastly underreported. And it just has to stop. And like Katie said, it starts with hearts and minds and the attitude.
And I know every police department is different, but generally do most police departments take these murders seriously? Or when they realize this is, in fact, a trans person, do they just kind of,
You know, I think in the larger communities, it's, and particularly initially, I think it's treated just any other murder. Because a murder is a murder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got some really good, I know a number of the homicide detectives here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they're professionals. They don't really care who the victim is. It's their victim, and they're going to pursue those cases as diligently as they can based on the evidence that they have. Now, you start working out away from, say, Dallas, and the further away you get, the fact that this person is transgender may play a bigger role in this not being, you know, first and foremost on their list. And so the concern for us in the transgender community is, in fact, are these murders being taken seriously? Is the transgender aspect being given the appropriate attention? Because these should be classified as hate crimes.
Yes.
And certainly investigated that way until you can prove otherwise. Because again, a lot of these women, when you look at how they die, it was up close and personal.
Right.
And so to say this is just a random act, most random violent acts in Dallas County, they're drive-bys. They drive by and they fire, hit a dozen people randomly. Not when you've got a contact wound in someone's head. That's up close and personal.
And you mentioned, you know, most of, if not all of the victims thus far have been trans women of color. You know, anybody who gets killed for any reason is awful. But I wonder why, and can you all shed some light on this? Why do you think it is mostly women of color?
Well, they're in many instances a double minority, being both African American and transgender. There have been some beliefs that within the African American community itself, I know there was a big blow up here recently about D.L. Hughley making some.
He made some comments about Caitlyn Jenner, and we'll talk more about Caitlyn in a little while.
And so there's that attitude that we were discussing earlier that, hey, wait a minute, you're basically creating an environment where this is okay. It's exactly what you were saying.
Right.
That we're punchlines. We're not valued
people. Right. And so there's a concern within the African American community that transgender women of color are more frequently targeted. I don't know that anybody really knows the answer to that. It's certainly a concern. It's something that we do have to look at because of the 16, there's three additional ones that we're just getting information on, but of the original 13, I think 15 of them were transgender women of color. One was a Latina, so.
Right.
There was a white girl in Alabama.
Okay. So we've got...
And I think the girl in Fresno was white, too.
Very, very high number.
High number, yeah.
So what specifically is going on, we're not sure.
Not sure.
But one of the concerns may be cultural. Certainly when you look at Brazil, there's a culture there that's really feeding the frenzy, so to speak. I think they've topped the list the last several years.
We just need to make it okay. Like, again, I go back to Laverne Cox. It has to be okay to love a transgender woman. We're just women.
Right.
And I think it goes beyond that. Because, again, I don't know that... I think transpanic is actually a small number. I think this is more hunting than panic.
And, you know, I've also learned from some trans individuals that sometimes the culprit is very much aware of this individual's makeup biologically, and they are fine with it until somebody else finds out. You know, it's like, you know, they're okay to have this relationship, whether it's just for sex or actual relationship, but it's on the down low, it's in secret. As soon as the larger of the community finds out, then it turns bad. That's not okay also.
No, that's why I say it just has to be okay culturally and as far as society. We're not freaks.
Right. Well, I do want to remind everyone, it is Pledge Drive. We do need you to give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, it's 972-647-1893. Again, it's not just to keep us on the air, it's to help keep KNLN on the air. We are moving. We don't have a new home just yet. I'm pretty secure with your help. We will find a home really soon. So by the end of September, we won't be at this location anymore. So give us a call and help us find a new place. And it's gonna cost to move. You know, where, think about how much it costs to move your house. A couple thousand dollars. Well, triple that or 10 times that for a radio station. It's going to come. We need funds to help us actually move to that new place also. So give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. Josh, Chris, they're all standing by waiting to take your call. Wrapping up, you know, this conversation about, you know, the unfortunate trend of murders of trans women, what can trans women do? What are you all saying to each other to help prevent this, to protect yourselves?
Well, the same thing that cisgender women say to each other. It's, we've got to be careful. We've got to be aware of our surroundings. We, whenever possible, be in groups. Your best friend is situational awareness. What's going on around you? Who are the people here? Am I in a public place where if I need help, I can get help? Keep your cell phones handy. Get your pepper spray. You know, take the steps that you need to take. Stay in groups. Stay in well-lit areas. Don't go someplace with somebody you don't know.
Right.
You know, that's sort of just...
That's common sense and all, but I think... It's sort of like telling women how to not get raped. I just don't think it's incumbent upon us to take steps to not get murdered. How about just not murdering us?
I mean, that's true. That's
you know, don't go out and rape people. That way I don't have to worry about the length of my skirt because I'm not asking for it.
Right.
By going out to eat or going out to dance with friends, I'm not asking to get murdered. I just want to go out and dance and hang out with friends. If I want to walk to my car alone because my friend wants to dance a little longer, I should do that without getting murdered.
Absolutely.
I understand it is prudence and good common sense to do those things, and it's sad that we have to. But I hope as a society we can get to that point where I don't have to take steps to not get murdered.
And I couldn't agree with you more, but also you hit the wonderful key word is, unfortunately, we have to.
Yeah.
That is the world we live in.
And that sucks.
And it does suck. Yeah. So you do have to do whatever you can to protect yourself. And that's anybody, actually.
Yeah.
I go out to the clubs, which I don't do anymore because I don't live out in Oklahoma anymore. But on occasion when I do go out, it's like, you know, I want to make, like, when I go back to my car, I have to make sure my friends walk with me because, you know, we're prone to get bashed also. So
right. I used to walk from the clubs to my car. Sometimes I had people with me. If I didn't, I had my pepper spray in my hand, ready to go. Of course, I always made sure I parked in well-lit areas. You just have to be cautious.
Yeah, you do. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Leslie and Katie here on Lambda Weekly.
This is Lewis from UT Arlington, and I listen to Lambda Weekly podcasts at lambdaweekly.com.
Welcome back to Lambda Weekly. We are talking today with Leslie McMurray and Katie Sprinkle. But before we get back to them, we do want to remind you that it is Pledge Drive. We need you to give us a call at 972-647-1893. Help us keep not just Lambda Weekly on the air. Now it's about keeping KNON on the air. We are moving by the end of next month. And as usual, we do have some great gifts to give away with your pledges, but here's a special one. You can go see the Indigo Girls. We know our fan base, our listeners, love the Indigo Girls. They're going to be here on Friday, September the 18th at the House of Blues. You can get, for a $40 pledge, you can get a pair of tickets. That's a steal, $40. And the House of Blues is a really cool place. Or for a pledge of $60, you can get a pair of tickets and a KNON t-shirt. So, again, KNON is always providing great entertainment, and this is one show that I think would be really good to go see. Give us a call, 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. Target has been in the news the past week because of an announcement they just made. I think it's kind of, I don't know why I laugh at the story, but I guess because of the uproar, people get so upset about the silliest stuff. If you haven't heard, Target has decided to remove gender-specific signs in certain parts of their store. Toys, the home and entertainment, yeah. So not the entire store, but just certain parts of it. But particularly what has caused the uproar is in the toys section. In other words, when you go to the store, you usually see a pink aisle, blatantly pink with dolls, tiaras, costumes, et cetera, et cetera. And then you see a blue aisle, Legos, you know, things that are geared towards boys. Well, now they're going to take those away. They're not going to take the toys away. They're still going to be there. They're just going to take away the gender-specific signs. In other words, toys are just for kids. Let them play what they want to play with. And people have really gotten upset about this. I think it's great. What do you think?
I posted online about it as soon as I heard word that, you know, yay Target, I loved you before, I love you even more now. Because it's just, to me, I think that's where we need to go as a society, because people are really hung up about gender. And if you don't believe it, you think about how many things we gender all the time, and they're so pervasive, it's everywhere that you don't even see it. But it's if you walk in to a restaurant to get seated, and they say, thank you, sir, thank you, ma'am, you know, come right this way. There's gendering there. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's on the phone. It's at a drive-thru. Thank you, sir, please pull forward to the next window. So, you know, telling kids or parents, you know, these are for kids, boys, these are for girls, I think the time has come to let kids be kids, and let them play with what they want to.
You know, the thing is, kids have always been kids until we stir them in a different direction. And it's nothing new about a boy perhaps wanting to play with a toy that's stereotypically made for a girl.
Well, either that or just something that kind of blurs the lines a little bit, maybe. It's just hard to say. I mean, we talked about it a little bit off air, but I think it's high time that we encourage girls to be doctors and engineers and to explore science and use their imagination. But typically, you don't get a girl a microscope for her birthday. You get her a Barbie or one of the costumes from Frozen.
Exactly.
Or something like that. And I mentioned the difficulty, when you look at buying birthday cards, I have grandchildren that are 5 and 6 and one that's 4, and there's 2 girls and a boy. And if you go and look at birthday cards for a 5-year-old boy or even, you know, a young boy, you know, on up to age 10 or 11, they're all, you know, things like rough and tumble or, you know, with a doctor on it or a cowboy. And then all the girls are, you know, you're so pretty and you're going to be a princess.
Yep.
And all this
Yep.
kind of stuff. And so they really gender shape these kids into particular zones. And it's almost like a coercion of, you know, you're not a real girl unless you want to be a princess. You're
Right.
not a real boy unless you're rough and tumble and want to play with G.I. Joes. And I just can't fathom taking down the signs on a toy aisle and then turning kids loose and saying, find what you like. How in the world is that a bad thing?
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry, but one of the things that the uproar reminds me of is, surely, and I went through this with my dad, you know, he used to look at his job as a father. Well, my job is to turn my boys into men.
Right.
It's like,
well, did a crappy job.
No kidding. No kidding. But, you know, the fact is that kids know who they are very early on.
They do.
It is built in. It is programmed in. Your brain knows if you're a boy. Your brain knows if you're a girl. And having labels in a store doesn't really play into that. And boys tend to emulate their fathers in many ways, and girls tend to emulate their mothers in many ways. But there are plenty of instances where that's not true.
Absolutely.
And so I think some of this attitude that Target's getting, the flack they're getting, is from people who still buy into this outdated notion that, wait a minute, we have to teach these children to be boys or to be girls, which is just simply not true.
Yeah, if you take the signs down in a toy aisle, and that simple act undoes everything you've taught your kid. Either you've done a crappy job of teaching your kid, or you haven't been paying very much attention to them because they've been trying to tell you what they like, and you just haven't been listening.
Bingo.
And I got this. This was posted on my Facebook from my cousin, and I couldn't have been more proud. I just love her to death. Because I was mentioning the thing about Target. And she said, starting about 6 months ago, William, her son, wouldn't use the girls' bathroom because he's a boy. And I suspect peeing in urinals is more fun. Still, William buys girls' clothes and nail polish because I told him he can dress himself however he likes. He still prefers Legos and Transformers. Her daughter buys superhero toys and Legos, as well as Barbies and such, and wears the frilly girl clothes. And they have a rule in their house that says, inanimate objects have no gender. There's no boy toys or girl toys or boy-girl or boy or girl clothes. They're just toys. They're just clothes. I couldn't say it better.
No, she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. You know, the thing is, I think from such an early age, it is put into kids' heads. And when I say early age, I'm talking like as early as one or two. You're right, Katie. They already know who they are, but they also know what they're supposed to think. And that is, boys are supposed to play with this, girls are supposed to play with that. And when they see something different, they think it's weird. Because, again, we've all, if you watch, I have a kid, I have a six-year-old, you should see the commercials. You know, they are very, the marketing is very gender-specific. So they get that at a very early age. One of my daughter's classmates, this is about a year ago, a little boy, he likes to play with dolls. And it was just fascinating to my daughter. So we had to point it out to her that it's just a doll. You can play with whatever you want to play with. And we have purposely tried to push things towards my daughter that are not typically girl toys. And for the most part, she don't want to have anything to do with them. But that's just her. So when I go to the toy store, I'm not going to be flipping out because they took down a girl sign or a boy sign. I know what my daughter likes, so I'll just go get it. I don't understand what people are flipping out about. If you know, like you said, if you know your kid, you know what they like, you'll still find it. It's not going anywhere.
No, and to me, I would organize the aisles completely different than they are, rather than the pink and blue aisle or the girls' aisle and the boys' aisle. Don't just take down the sign. Organize the aisles towards action figures and put Barbie right there with G.I. Joe.
Absolutely.
And the Hulk and all the, you know, those comic figures and stuff. Mix them all up in there and let the kids grab what they want.
Let them grab what they want.
And then wheeled vehicles, have Barbie's Corvette right next to the Tonka trucks and the fire trucks and everything else. Put them all in the same aisle. Let the kids sort them out. And then constructible toys like Legos and building blocks and Lincoln Logs and things like that. Cram them all in the same aisle and let the kids figure it out. Let them get what they want.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Leslie, you need a job?
Yeah.
If a Target was just listening, call Leslie.
I have two daughters, and the only thing I ever told them that I wanted them to be was happy.
Yeah. Let them play what they want to play. You know, here's what I think the really bottom line issue is, particularly with boys. I know a lot of people think that if I let my boy, my son, play with, again, I'm doing air quotes, a supposedly girl toy, that's going to make them gay. Seriously, let's just get to the root of it. That's what the fear is, because I hear it from other straight parents. They think that.
So if you give a boy a doll that looks like a girl, he's going to grow up wanting to be with other men? I'm not sure I understand.
I don't understand that either. I've never understood that.
Yeah, to me, you know, sexual orientation is not the same thing as gender identity. And you can't change that with playthings.
You can.
I don't care what you gave me. I played very competitive sports growing up, and
so did I.
I am who I am.
I am who I am. And I remember when, I'm dating myself, but when I was a kid, one of the popular toys, I don't even know if this is still around, was the Easy Bake Ovens.
Yeah.
Well, that was a girl's toy. But let me tell you what, all the boys in my neighborhood wanted to play with that, if for no other reason, because we got a bite of the cake when it was finished. So, and I still know these boys, including my brother. They
my
all turned out heterosexual.
Brownies.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I'm with you. I never understood that logic. You know, it's like, okay, just because you let a boy play with supposedly a girl toy, they're going to grow up to be gay. Here's some of the comments from social media for people who are up in arms about this. And again, they're so outlandish, I have no choice but to laugh at them. No more Target for our family. Going gender neutral is absolutely ridiculous. Just because a bunch of progressive liberals are trying to sissify our nation, Amazon will pick up your loss for my business.
That is just insane.
It's insane. Are you serious?
How is it sissifying? Because they're making the assumption it's all shaped around boys. And again, this just shows that
exactly.
culture
yep.
that is so ignoring girls.
Exactly.
So if it's sissifying guys, does it mean it's masculinizing girls? And again, if inspiring them to be interested in math and science and building, how is that a bad thing?
How is that a bad thing?
I would love to sit in a room with that Nimrod and...
Well, and oh it also God. Is reflective of that attitude we talked about a second ago, which is, you know, I've got to teach this boy how to be a man. I've got to teach this girl how to be a woman. It's like,
no, you don't.
They're going to learn it anyway.
Right.
It's who they are.
How about teaching them how to be a good person?
There you go.
Them how to love, and teach them to not be violent, and teach them not to be cruel to animals, and just teach them to be good people.
Yeah.
How about that? Let them sort everything else out on their own.
Well, and, you know, Target, again, kudos to them for doing this, but they're not the first company to do this. Gap did it also. If you go into Gap, you won't see a girls' section and a boys' section. Now, I think they still might have the gender-specific when it comes to adult clothing, but as far as kids, it just says kids' clothing.
Great.
Good for them. Same thing with Lego. They took that away also.
Yeah.
It's just Legos. So it's happening slowly but surely. It's happening.
Yeah. Well, and also trust that the fact is Target's a huge corporation.
It is.
And they've got people who study merchandising. They know how to do it so that you'll still be able to find everything you're looking for. So it's not you're not going to walk in and suddenly not know where to go. You're going to know where to go because that's what the marketing and merchandising people want. They want you to know where to go. You're still going to know where to go. You're still going to find what it is. You're going to have to be a better parent. You're going to have to know your children and know what they like so you can go get it as opposed to my son is a boy. I'm only going to buy him this and force that on him.
Well, and that's exactly it, forcing, because if you really get to know your kids, you might have a son who likes toys that are stereotypically called girl toys and vice versa.
Right.
And then you're going to get upset, and then you're going to force them to only like a certain other toy.
Maybe he'll just grow up to be a better father. Who knows?
Yeah, imagine that.
Now we've got to change a diaper.
And the extra added bonus is, without the bigots shopping at Target, the lines will be slightly shorter on Black Friday.
Yeah.
That's true. Silver lining.
Yes.
And we need another silver lining. We need you to help us stay on the air. Give us a call. It is Fletch Drive. Our number here is 972-647-1893. Again, it's 972-647-1893. I want to talk about another good pledge gift that we're giving away. What's coming up? State Fair of Texas. Thank God. Only because that means that the weather's getting cooler. you can get, for a $35 pledge, you can get a pair of tickets to the State Fair. Now, with this ticket, you will see, in concert, the Beach Boys, Kevin Fowler, and Jay Perez. For $35, that's a steal. So you're basically singing these guys for free, you know. So that's a really, really good present there. $35. Then for $60, you can get all of that plus a Kano Win T-shirt. So give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893, and we will be right back on Lambda Weekly.
This is Kimberly Truex of the GLBT Wedding Expo, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM.
Welcome back to KNON. We are talking today with Leslie McMurray and Katie Sprinkle, but we do want to remind you that it is Pledge Drive. Give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. We are moving. We will not be here around the same time in about a month at the end of September. We need help to help us move, you know, all the equipment, the electricity. Just think about how much it costs for you to move just your own personal stuff. Triple that or 10 times that when you're thinking about moving a radio station. So we need help with that. We also have our regular premiums. Of course, you can call and get the apron. We always talk about the apron. That's for $40. We also have a cool hat for $40. And, of course, you can always get any of the variety of KNON T-shirts that we have. So give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, that's 972-647-1893. And there are different ways to pledge. You can call. We won't keep your information. Don't worry about that. And you can text us. You can text KNON at just texting at 56512. And you can always go online to KNON.org and make a pledge on our show. I think you click the specialty button and find our show, and you can make a pledge that way. So there's various ways to give. We'll appreciate any of them. Again, 972-647-1893. Let's get back to Leslie and Katie. Again, we haven't spoken to you all in a while, and since the last time we spoke, Caitlyn Jenner has now revealed herself to the world, and her show has also, her reality show mm-hmm. called I Am Kate has actually come out. I have found this really interesting and kind of sad. You know, like Laverne Cox and Janet Mock, or even Chaz, some other high-profile trans individuals, of course they get criticism just the general criticism for those who's just not on our team at all. But I think Caitlyn seems to have taken a lot more heat, and I don't understand why.
I think it's Kardashian backlash.
Yeah. Is that
else.
It?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a combination of Kardashian backlash and, you know, pre-transition, Caitlyn had built sort of a persona of this Olympian.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that's all they knew. And so this put a nice big crack in that. All of it's, I mean, that's something that all transgender people go through. We all have sort of these pre-transition personas, the way our family sees us, the way our friends see us. You know, I was this mild-mannered attorney that wore a suit and funny ties. And then no one saw the other side. They never mm-hmm. saw that sort of projection that I put out there. People didn't know that that person had this whole other life.
Right.
And so it's a shock. And so with Caitlyn, it's just magnified because now you've got the Kardashian backlash.
And I think you're on to something with the persona of who Caitlyn used to be, which is Bruce Jenner, a former Olympian, because that's like the epitome of masculinity. And one of the, you know, the very initial announcement that when Caitlyn announced her new name, somebody tweeted out, it was another celebrity, I forgot the person's name, but they tweeted, "I'm still going to refer to you as Bruce." And, you know, that's just disrespectful.
Yeah, it is.
You know, I just, if you really, just shut up. Just shut up. I don't even know why you would take the time to type something out like that.
Some people are just uncomfortable with transgender people, and they don't understand what it is that we're going through. They discount it. They don't understand that it's very, very real. There's also been a little bit of interesting backlash from even transgender people with Caitlyn.
There has been,
and
yes.
I think a lot of it has to do with the privilege that Caitlyn has that a lot of us don't have, and that is unlimited funds. She can live behind a walled compound in a multi-million-dollar neighborhood that's extremely safe. And so she has all the trappings and comforts and access to medical care and no need for employment. So she had a transition that certainly affected those around her, but it didn't affect her in a way that it affects a lot of us. Because, you know, I had a six-figure job for many, many years till I transitioned, and that went away. And that's the same for a lot of us that don't have the ability to have the surgeries that she's had, to do the things on her terms that she's been able to do. I think it paints a picture for those that don't know in middle America, because I think
right.
the people that hate us are going to hate us no matter what happens. The people that understand us are going to understand us no matter what she does. But the people in the middle that are having their eyes open maybe for the first time to who and what transgender people are, who don't know anyone who's transgender and she's the only one, they're saying, oh, so you can just grow your hair out long on Friday and then Monday you can transition seamlessly to being female, and it just doesn't happen that way. It's hideously expensive, it's very painful, it's life-changing, it upsets everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even she lost her marriage mm-hmm. to Chris, and a lot of us lose our marriage, but a lot of us lose our homes and jobs and money
right.
and medical insurance and everything else on top of it. So it doesn't really illustrate the difficulty and cruelty the transition is, because for her being wealthy, she didn't experience that.
So what are your thoughts about some, say, even those who were perhaps on our team, or some other trans individuals who say that her show, I Am Kate, they think she's just doing that for her own personal gain.
I think she's doing that show, from what I've seen and heard about it, they do a very, very good job. There was something like 16 different sensitivity trainings that E! Entertainment, not just the people around her show, but E! Entertainment as a network, underwent to fully understand what
good for
transgender
them.
Is. So they've done a really good job of exposing the staff of E! Also, they have enlisted some experienced and long transition people like Jennifer Finney Boylan, who wrote a book called She's Not There, Life in Two Genders. She's been a consultant on the show and has appeared on the show actually a couple times. So they're really making an effort to do it right and show some of the difficulties. Like one of the first shows, she was fighting with her voice, and that's something that plays.
Yes, I did see that.
I think they're doing a very good job on that particular show. I just think if people watch it and understand it for what it is, it'll be helpful. And the fact that she started the conversation and has people talking about being transgender, that's all a good thing.
I couldn't agree with you more. The fact that you have someone, like her or a lover, you have someone now, a visible, known person out there. Because I remember when Rosie O'Donnell finally came out. And she came out not just as a lesbian, but she came out as a parent. Mm-hmm. And I would never forget what she said. And, you know, Rosie has her haters also.
Donald Trump.
But she said something that I'll never forget, and it was, now you know what a gay parent looks like.
Yeah.
I am the face of a gay parent. Yeah, sure. And I'm like, you know, and so I kind of think of the same thing as Caitlin. Lover or hater, now you know.
Right.
Somebody that you have watched grow through all these years, whether you really knew them in real life or not, but you knew pre-Caitlin, and now you've seen the transition. So I think that's good, and if for nothing else, just for that reason.
Well, and another thing this brings up is pre-Caitlin Jenner, whenever they did studies and they just asked average people, tell us who you think of when you think of a transgender person. Without question, most people thought of RuPaul, who's not even transgender.
RuPaul's not even transgender. RuPaul's a drag queen.
But that's who people thought of.
Wow, interesting.
And so because of that, you know, they all think transgender people are like RuPaul, who's a character that this person plays. He's not even like that in real life.
Right.
He's very mild-mannered. And,
yes.
So having someone like Caitlyn Jenner come out, the hope is that people are going to start, okay, this is what a transgender person, it's not this RuPaul person.
Right.
Yeah, this is the face of transgender.
Yeah.
Right. And unfortunately, the show, I think it's only aired 3 times now, but the ratings aren't great so far, so they're already talking about cancellation.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just a product of...
That's just TV.
Yeah.
You know, shows that don't perform well right out of the gate. You're not gonna last a long time.
Unless it's MASH or Seinfeld.
And I hope that's not indicative of people's interest or distaste of the subject matter.
I just think they're burnt out on the whole Kardashian thing, and they don't like to put
that might be more of it. Let's hope that's it.
They need to put some fresh faces on. It would have been nice if we could have seen more realistic view of what transition is, because again, even with Caitlyn Jenner, she had been working on this project for years.
Yes, this wasn't something that happened overnight.
No,
and it never is, and it's something
that,
you know, there's the struggling phase where you struggle, you keep hidden, and then you finally come out to yourself, and then you begin to explore what can I do, and then you begin to move forward in that process, and then you finally reach the point where I need to transition. Now what do I do? And then you go through that long process. It can take 2 or 3 years sometimes just to get through transition.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 43 before I started transition. So it took me 43 years just to get to the point where I could pull the trigger on transition. So having a more realistic view, it may not make good TV. I don't know.
Right. Well, there is another show, another reality show that's tracking the life of a transgender individual, and that is with a little girl. And I forget the name of the show.
Jazz.
Yes.
Jazz Jennings is her name.
And my sister-in-law watches it, and she loves it. And I've seen one episode, and it does seem pretty good.
There's a movie coming out next month. I think it kicks off like mid-September, called About Ray, which is a wonderful, wonderful movie. Susan Sarandon is in it. Terrific cast. And I would highly recommend seeing that as well if you have any interest in it. It's about a trans boy.
Okay. So, okay, we have gotten a few pledges. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you for everyone who is... thank you, Mary. Thank you very much. She's going to go see the Indigo Girls.
Yes.
Enjoy that. We do have one other pair left, so give us a call at 972-647-1893. Again, it's 972-647-1893 if you want to go see the Indigo Girls at the House of Blues on September 18th. We do have another pair of tickets for the State Fair of Texas. And you can, along with just getting into the State Fair of Texas, you can see the Beach Boys, Kevin Fowler, and Jay Perez. That's a really, really good deal. And it's only $35. Now, if you want to throw in a T-shirt with that, it gets it up to $60, but still, that is a steal. So give us a call, 972-647-1893. Help keep Lambda Weekly on the air and keep the radio station on the air. We need a place. We need a home. So we won't be here by the end of September. So help us with that transition. 972-647-1893. We're talking about the tea, the sweet tea today of the LGBT with Katie and Leslie. And if you haven't heard, there's been an ordinance in Houston that has gone through several, it's taken on several different lives. It's called HERO. It initially passed by the city council, and it's for those who don't know, it's a non-discrimination ordinance.
Houston Equal Rights Ordinance.
Exactly. Right. And it included sexual orientation and gender identity. Mm-hmm. And so they tried to get a petition to put it on the ballot that was thrown out of court because of fraud and not collecting enough valid signatures. Now, when was it, a week or two ago, the Texas Supreme Court threw that out and says that it has to go on the ballot now. Talk a little bit about this craziness.
Well, it's a multi-layered problem. Houston is they're a conflicted city.
They are.
And it's not Dallas.
So
yeah. And so what we've got going on down there is you've got an ordinance that was passed by the city council in Houston. Businesses want these ordinances. That's what the far right doesn't want you to know. That businesses want these ordinances because when they decide they're going to move their businesses
Yes.
or some part of it to your community, they want to make sure that their employees are not going to be discriminated against and not going to be mistreated in your community. And so the city councils in many cities, most of the cities here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, have done this. And it's because...
It's good for business.
It's good for business. And Houston is a top 10 city. All of the top 10 cities in Texas, in the United States have some type of ordinance. And Houston, for whatever reason, is sticking out like a sore thumb and having trouble getting this settled once and for all.
So they pass it. Then a number of religious groups begin the drive to get signatures. Their signatures were not valid.
No.
But for some reason, the Texas Supreme Court, which is just not friendly to the LGBT community,
not at all,
doesn't care, and basically has sent it to the voters. So now our brothers and sisters of the entire LGBT community down in Houston they're out canvassing neighborhoods, knocking on doors, talking to people so that we can keep this ordinance in place.
One of the cooler parts of that is they're trying to get Houston native Beyonce Knowles to come out in favor of HERO
that would be awesome.
Bay a HERO. It's B-Y-A-HERO.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that. That's awesome. I knew she was from Houston, but yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well,
yeah, so,
God, I hope she does, and yeah. I hope anything to help.
Yeah, sure. we need the help, and because we're not getting it from the local Houston area media. They're being very antagonistic, to say the least.
Well, you know who used to be on the Houston area media is Dan Patrick. He was on the air down there forever.
Oh, that's right. That's
so
right.
So we've got a hostile media.
They elected a talk show host, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, I saw an interview clip last week, and the guy conducting the interview was very hostile, and he was focusing on the transgender community. He was saying,
"What a surprise!
You've got this bathroom section in there. Why don't you guys just drop that? Just drop that whole T thing." Luckily,
we're back to the bathrooms again.
Yes, back to the bathrooms. So this isn't going to go away. People need to understand, particularly those in the LGBT community, that, you know, in over 300 cities and in 20 states, They have enacted bills that allow transgender people to use the correct bathroom.
Right.
And in none of those places have you seen any increase in public safety issues.
Right.
It's just not happening. And the guy
hasn't happened at all.
We've tried to think. We can't think of one case
that's popped up because of that.
There have been surveys done. They have looked into this. It's just not happening. And the person who was being interviewed by this very hostile host told him that three times. It's not happening. And this host, like he wasn't hearing it.
And the thing is, I'm sure he didn't want to hear it.
No, they don't want to hear it.
They don't want to hear it.
It's not a matter of whether it's happening. It's a matter of they want to win. And right now, what they're trying to do is put RuPaul in every bathroom in America. And we've got to stop them. And we've got to let people know, look, this isn't brand new. This isn't something that just happened. 300 cities, 20 states have done it. There have been no issues. So look at what has happened. If your city is special and you've got a special brand of stupidity working, okay, maybe. But it's not happened in these other places.
Well, it's going to be a disaster anyway. And I'll draw this mental picture here for you. There were some laws that they tried to get through in the last legislative session in Austin to make it a Class A misdemeanor, which is an arrestable offense for transgender people to use the, quote, wrong bathroom, and it was based on chromosome. Now, I know this is radio and everything, but can you imagine me walking into a men's room?
You would get some looks.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot use a urinal. I physically cannot. So here's the picture. I walk into, if I want to be law-abiding, if this law passes and I want to be law-abiding, I go into the men's room. A guy is going to grab me and say, hey, you're in the wrong bathroom. Well, there is a $2,000 bounty that is associated with that bill as well. So that person who grabs me would get a $2,000 reward from me for turning me in. So now I get arrested. They call the police down. They ask me for my ID. ID says female. Okay, so off I go to jail. So I'm in handcuffs in a police car. They book me into jail. They strip search me, female. They put me in the female jail part. I ask for a chromosome test at the city or county's expense. They do the chromosome test, and I get exonerated and released. But it's very expensive for the city to go through all that. So now I don't have to pay the fine. I have to get prosecuted. But is this every time I use a restroom?
Yeah, but yeah, think about all of that you just mentioned. Yeah. That takes months, if not years, to get cleared up just because you went to the wrong restroom.
And the other flip side of that that they never talk about or even think about is trans guys. Guys with full beards and tattoos and yoked up from lifting weights and wearing a wife beater T-shirt going into the women's room because they were born with female chromosomes.
Right.
Do you really want to explain to your 6-year-old daughter, Mommy, why is that man in the women's
room? Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's one of the arguments they use. If we're going to normalize transgender people going into the bathroom, then I'm not going to be on my guard for a man in the women's room. So some sexual predator is going to be able to just dress up like a girl, run in there, and assault people.
That's illegal already.
Right. Number one, it's illegal already, but more importantly, if you start having trans guys who are men, period, they look like men, they act like men, they smell like men, they are men, let them flood the women's room. A sexual predator that wants to go in there doesn't need to put on a wig and makeup.
No. Exactly. Katie, Leslie, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But we're not out of time for you to call. You still got time to give us a call and help us here and keep us on the air. 972-647-1893. We want to thank Sandra. She's going to go to the State Fair. She's going to see the Beach Boys. Have a good time, Sandra. Again, give us a call at 972-647-1893. Thank you, ladies, again. We'll see you next time on Lambda Weekly.